This morning, we have with us a missionary who's been of a great source of encouragement to us. Brother Forrest and Miss Jennifer have a connection through the Roberts family. Brother Doug Roberts was Jennifer's uncle. And we've been excited to hear what the Lord has been doing. Every month we share the McFell's mission letters to the people of Cambodia, Thailand, and the Asian continent. Brother Forrest has a very, very busy schedule as he is traveling a lot with his mission work. It's exciting to hear about how the Lord has taken their family and has their family engaged in missions. And it is just so good to have them with us today to hear this mission report. Brother Forrest, I'm going to turn the service over to you at this time. So if you wouldn't mind coming and sharing your report.
I have been very blessed to be married in to the family that includes the Roberts and Nellie and Pop Edmonds, and just to have their godly influence and to be so received, well received into their family myself. It's been a real joy to know them and to be reminded of Granny's testimony by seeing Pop yesterday and visiting with him. And though he almost can't see and he almost can't hear, and he almost can't talk, we were able to communicate with a ride-on wipe-off board and write really big, and we were able to communicate back and forth. So that was a blessing. We haven't seen you in a while. It's been maybe 5-6 years, and a lot, so much has happened in that amount of time. As you know, we've been missionaries to Cambodia for a long time now, since 2000. And since we last saw you, we also transitioned in our ministry to taking the responsibility of being the regional director for Gospel Fellowship Association for Asia, Australia, and the Pacific. So being a part of the administration and leadership of the mission board and over our missionaries who live in our region and helping to guide them and shepherd and encourage them, and also staying in Cambodia and staying engaged in ministry there, it's been quite a journey. And I'll tell you, it's a very busy ministry, but a very profitable one. And we've been so blessed with this ministry this last number of years. So I'm going to give you a report with a PowerPoint here, and then I'm going to give you a second report, and that second one is the story of someone in the ministry there in Posat, Cambodia, that I would like to share with you for your encouragement. So God has privileged us with serving in Cambodia as church planting missionaries now since 2000, and I'm going to be giving you a presentation here verbally, but if you want to read a report of what we've been doing over this last term, there are copies in the back on the table if you'd like to read that. Some people really appreciate having that. And if you're one of those people, please take one of those. And we also have a prayer card also back there on the table. And it's a little bit sad that our prayer card has less people on it than before, now that our children are growing and leaving the house and we're down to one with us. So there's just three of us on that one now. But we have that prayer card there in the back. Most of our ministry in Cambodia has been in Posat province, where we are now, and we continue to live and serve in Cambodia while also fulfilling our ministry as regional director for Asia, Australia, Pacific with GFA. And some of you have seen the written report of our last term, or I'm referring to this if you had been given that, and it recounts many of the ways that God has blessed and worked through us by his grace through this regional director ministry. So I'm going to spend more of our time in the presentation this morning talking about Cambodia and less about the regional director ministry. But if you want to know more about the regional director ministry, those details will be in this report there at the table. So while in Cambodia, we visit with members of Inheritance in Christ Church that we planted there in Posat City, and we participate in their lives, attending meetings and activities there with them. Our co-workers, the Waldock family, leads the ministry there in Po Sat now. We assist them, and team meetings are a key way that we contribute to that ministry, talking and praying with them, our co-workers. They came to Cambodia as they lost their ability to remain in India. And so they came to Cambodia as missionaries, and then we helped lead them and helped train them as missionaries in Cambodia, and now they are leading the ministry in Po Sat, and we are working with them as we're so busy with regional director ministry with GFA that a lot they now lead that ministry. This last term was punctuated by Cambodia's own trials over the pandemic. We enjoyed a beautiful Christian wedding of two faithful believers there, Viesna and Srechin. It was a celebration of Christ's love for our whole church family and a tremendous opportunity to bear witness for Christ in the Po Sat City community. When they have a wedding in Cambodia, and the same with their funerals, they basically take over a street. So this is done. Weddings are done at home. Funerals are done at home. The ceremonies and the festivities for the wedding and then for the time of grief, it happens at the home. And so what they do is they rent a great big tent, have lots of chairs, there's food, and it blocks off the entire street. They set up microphones, big speakers, and they blast everything that's going on throughout the entire community. Why am I explaining this to you? Well, first of all, it's very interesting. But second of all, it is a huge opportunity for the gospel, because when there are almost no Christians in the entire area, when there is a Christian wedding or a funeral and Christian truth, Christian music, discussions on the microphones blast through the neighborhood of what Christians believe about creation and the man and woman and what marriage is and what the marriage ceremony is all about. All of that's going out to the whole community, and then hundreds of people come and participate. And so it's a tremendous opportunity for the gospel when a wedding takes place for the believers. And they know that, and it's a very important time for their own testimony. We also experienced two funerals during this time. One was a tragic loss of 3-year-old Isak, son of the deacon Puk and his wife Pram. The other, the husband of faithful Srepo. And while these are times of real grief, they too, the funerals too, are times where the gospel of Jesus Christ shines for all to see. And as we get on that microphone, just like the Buddhist monks would normally do, they'd get up there and they would give their holy language from the Balay Sanskrit, and then they would wax eloquent about doctrines of Buddhism for the whole area to hear. No monks at a Christian funeral. Instead, preachers of the gospel are explaining what death means for a believer in Jesus Christ, the hope of the resurrection, and so it's a much different scenario. We're excited that our daughter Savannah has joined our ministry team in Cambodia this summer. She's single, and she now is a full-time vocational ministry there in Cambodia. And her focus is on outreach to children and helping get contacts for the missionaries and developing resources for children there in Cambodia. So praise the Lord that she's there. So when we return to Cambodia in January, Lord willing, she may be the first person we see when we get out of the airport there. We have sent our two boys, Micaiah and Elijah, off to college during this term. We said our earthly goodbyes to Jennifer's dad. Some of you know Mike Mann. I believe today is the anniversary of his passing. Exactly 1 year today. Another great privilege of mine being married into this family is to have a father-in-law like that. Praise the Lord. We continue to seek to be of help to her mom, Beverly, as well. Perhaps the greatest way that we can contribute to ongoing efforts to reach Cambodians is through evangelism, evangelistic encounters. This is our city of Po Sat, about 50,000 people right there in town. And that's the night view. There's an island there in the Po Sat River that is in the shape of an ancient ship, and they've got it kind of garden-like, and it's become the place to go and do things in our town. And so in the mornings early, about 5:45 a.m. or so, you'll find Jennifer and I out there walking with a whole bunch of other people in the early morning there in Posat. The Lord has used our continual burden for the Buddhists and the increasingly secularized Cambodians all around us there. We have many friends and contacts throughout the area that we continue to seek to win for Christ, and as we return to Cambodia for this next term, we are very burdened for evangelism to see God bring more people to himself in this very needy province. People have asked us, you know, where's the neediest place in Cambodia for the gospel? And I say, well, where we are, our province is that place, and we're very grateful to the Lord for allowing us to be there. You see in this picture the man seated behind me in the background. He's had polio, and he's not in the greatest health, and he's very dependent on his family members. I've known this man for years, and he taught me how to play Cambodian chess, as a matter of fact. And he understands the gospel. He believes it's true, but he will not repent and actively follow Christ because of fear of his family members. Because he's a dependent on others and his family, he's afraid that if he believes in Christ that they won't take care of him. And so that fear keeps him from getting baptized, ever coming to church or anything like that. So his name is Tun, and I look forward to, I just got a message from him the other day asking me how I was doing while I'm here in the States. And I look forward to renewing evangelism with him. Jennifer got a message this morning from a Facebook Messenger message from a woman in Posat that she's been working with for some years now, a friend, Sait Lai. And she just had a miscarriage, and she was writing a voice message to Jennifer explaining what had happened, and Jennifer was trying to give the gospel to her once more over that messenger message just this morning. Our son Elijah helped me record 9 evangelistic videos, 7 of which are a Creation to Christ series, teaching through the main gospel truths the way that Cambodians need to hear it, that starts with the book of Genesis and deals with things that they're thinking about. And so Elijah helped produce those. Here's one of them. Okay, that's good. We do speak the language. So that was one main point. People often ask, do you speak the language there? Yes, we do, by the grace of God, and that's a very key part of our ministry, is being able to communicate the gospel in their language. And so we've been producing these videos, and God has been blessing this as an avenue of ministry. We look forward to getting back into that as well when we get back. We recently did a reprint of the gospel tract, Why Do All Men Seek Peace and Prosperity? We are presently negotiating a reprint of other tracts as well. 2 others are being completed right now from our co-workers there throughout Cambodia. And we're very grateful for the team of missionaries that God has given us that are burdened for producing gospel materials in the Cambodian language. Not just translating ones that were written here, but writing ones that are immediately relevant to the way they think about things there in Cambodia. QR codes on the back of the tracks direct people to our evangelistic videos online. I don't know if all of you know what a QR code is or not. QR codes are those little scannables that you use your phone, and it just takes you straight to a website because you hover your camera over that QR code. Well, no Cambodians knew what a QR code was before COVID. But during COVID, everybody learned to order things online and to use QR codes, and everybody got online in Cambodia. So now Cambodia is a very much an online culture, and that helps with evangelism too, because you give them a printed gospel tract and you slap a QR code on the back that links them to YouTube videos that you've produced explaining the gospel, and that's proven to be a good thing as well. Because of various resources the Lord has allowed us to publish, I was given the opportunity to teach an all-day conference on evangelism for Cambodian believers in the capital city of Phnom Penh. And one major emphasis of this conference was the need to preach the gospel beginning with Genesis 1:1. If people don't know who God is, they cannot understand sin and our need to be made right with God. The cross has no meaning without the knowledge of who God is and what sin is. And so I urge Cambodians to spend plenty of time on Genesis 1 through 3 when they're trying to explain the gospel to people. Cambodians themselves, even if they came to Christ over a period of time and had someone talk to them over and over again about these truths, they have the same inclination that we have, impatience in evangelism. We want to get them to a decision and go to the cross right away. But if people don't know who God is, they can't comprehend what sin is, and they don't understand salvation. The cross doesn't make sense unless a person knows what God is like. And so just like we're tempted to be impatient, so are Cambodians. And so you have to remind them of that in evangelism as well. So please pray with us as we seek to bring people to Christ in Poh Sot. We're very burdened about that going back. This is little Isak's funeral procession. In some ways, these 4 years have been difficult. We've watched our small Cambodian congregation suffer with the death of little Isak, the falling away of his mother Pram. We took on a new ministry, had children leave the nest. We lost a parent, all while going through the COVID years with its many uncertainties and trials. We also had 16 missionaries leave from three fields as a direct or indirect result of the pandemic. And all of these missionaries have gone on to serve Christ in different ways, but they have left our region and are no longer with GFA, having gone on to other ministries. This funeral procession is a little bit different than one you'd see here in this neighborhood, isn't it? A lot different indeed. Church sang Amazing Grace, which you just heard at little Isak's funeral. Thank you for what you have done to give and to pray to allow us to bring the hope of Christ to Cambodians and to encourage gospel servants all throughout our region. There are now some in Poh Sot, some in that video there, who, instead of dying in their sins without hope and without God, now will graduate into the riches of their inheritance in Christ Jesus. And some of that is because we were there, and the Holy Spirit worked through us using His Word, and some of them have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're very grateful to the Lord for the privilege of being there. Some have said that they have been praying for us. Some have even said praying for us regularly. Thank you very much for that. And we're not worthy to have the kind of ministries that God has allowed us to have. Who are we to represent Jesus Christ in Poh Sot, Cambodia? Who are we to have a position of leadership over other missionaries? to be in a position of counsel and accountability to other missionaries that we highly respect. And we're just weak people, sinners saved by grace, and we're just grateful that God has allowed us to do this, and we appreciate your part in that. So thank you. Okay, well, I need to move on to the other PowerPoint that I have. And I'm not going to do that. I think Pastor's going to do that, maybe. Oh, is it already up? Oh, it's already up. I'm good. Thank you. So now I'd like to tell you the story of someone in the church there in Posat, Cambodia. His name is Puk. Puk and his brothers moved to Posat province from the other side of the country. His parents are corn and tobacco farmers in Kampong Cham province along the Mekong River. So he's from the side of Cambodia that's near Vietnam. We're on the side of Cambodia that's near Thailand. The brothers moved to Posat town where they could get involved in the marble business for which Posat is well known. And Puk learned to sculpt marble brought in from the mountains. If you were to come into Posat, if you were to visit Cambodia today, and we picked you up from the capital city of Phnom Penh, and we were driving back to Posat province together, and we were entering our town, as you came into town, on both sides of the road, there would be shop after shop after shop of marble carving, marble carved statues, mostly of Buddhas and other gods and other religious images. And you'll see images at different stages, great big blocks of marble, some half finished, some beautiful, all for sale coming into town. And that's why Puk came to Posat, to learn that trade, to make some money. He's a poor farmer boy from the other side of the country. So he carved Buddhist idols and religious images, as well as certain animals that Cambodians like for their symbolism, such as elephants and tigers. Buddhist idols made from marble can be very costly. Big money. He met a high school girl, Pram, who was attending our church with her parents. And Pram's family told Puk that she could not marry a non-Christian. So Puk started coming to church too. And missionary Chris Seawright, who was working with us at the time, taught Puk through an extended series of Creation to Christ Bible studies until he truly seemed to grasp it. Although Puk was shy, not very verbal, he was obviously sincere in his repentance and his desire to follow Jesus. He was baptized, and he and Pram were soon married. And this is a picture from their wedding. Puk, on the left, quickly became a key member of Inheritance in Christ Church. I gave Puk responsibilities like leading singing, no talent required, reading scripture, and explaining a short passage. By the way, you sang a cappella this morning? That's all we've ever done in Cambodia throughout our entire ministry. So we were right at home while you're singing a cappella. So some of you might have been a little disturbed by that, but we were just fine. Puk was well known for missing the point of a passage read and using that passage to explain the gospel no matter what it said. Teaching and guidance about how to think through a passage and explain it did not prove helpful with Puk. Today, Puk can give a brief challenge from Scripture, but he is no preacher. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. When Puk came to Christ, he told his boss that he could no longer make idolatrous images for him. This was a huge step of faith, as most of the money made by marble carvers comes from selling idols. Surprisingly, his boss readily agreed to have him just carve elephants instead. For Puk, that was a miracle that his boss would allow him to do that. This is a recent Facebook post of Puk showing some of his handiwork. So he's good. He's become quite a talented marble carver. When Puk and Prum's first child, Siu-E, was still tiny, she became deathly ill from a misdiagnosis. With pressure to go to a witch doctor, Puk and Prum stood firm. They said, "She came from God and belongs to God, and we will follow Jesus whether she lives or dies." They took their baby to the capital city of Phnom Penh to a children's hospital there, and Siu-E lived and thrived. And their testimony also grew in our church. When T became the pastor, Puk became the deacon. A little boy, Siu-Mien, was added to their family. Puk's quiet but strong testimony was an influence in Prum's very troubled family. The extended family shares a plot, all living next to one another in close quarters. Her father came to Christ after years of trying to pretend. He was an alcoholic, and his salvation was amazing. A wonderful blessing of a testimony, which I would love to share sometime. Puk helped him as he went through withdrawals, as he forsook alcohol. Puk has had to play the role of peacemaker in both screaming matches and actual brawls. One of Puk's sisters-in-laws there is basically a prostitute, and another has had several different men, the latest of which builds and sells spirit worship altars next door to Puk's house. Severe ignorance and the consequences of sin dominate just about everything. Puk's wife, Prum, began to accrue many small debts and did not respond to teaching and guidance about borrowing. And one day, while Prum was trying to acquire another loan from another church member, Siu-Mien drowned in the irrigation canal nearby. He was only 3. Prum was devastated and blamed her sin and not listening to her husband about seeking a loan. However, both she and Puk declared that they did not blame God and instead trusted his purposes. As Job 121 says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Pastor T lost his inheritance and was strapped with a burden to help his family members who were drowning in debt. T did not respond in faith, and he left the church in great bitterness. Puk was deeply saddened by Pastor T's failure, but he remained quiet and faithful, an anchor in the tiny assembly. Baby Isak was born in 2018, bringing laughter back into their lives. During the COVID-19 lockdown, Prum could not sell her snacks to travelers as she normally did, and she fell back on borrowing money. Puk obtained a moto carriage, a rickshaw, called a tuk-tuk, and became a driver for hire as a second job. They were making ends meet, barely, and Prum's debt was climbing. Tragedy struck again in February of 2022. 3-year-old Isak was killed in a fall from his dad's tuk-tuk. We were all devastated. God's grace carried us through the wake, the funeral, and the burial. So now they've had 2 little boys. Both of them died at 3 years old, both from accidents, one a drowning and one a rickshaw accident. Brahm appeared calmer this time at this funeral, but the facade covered a deep hopelessness. She began to lead a wild life, rarely at home, always spending money and borrowing more. She listened to nothing Puk would say and avoided him. Finally, at the breaking point, she came to church, repentant and wanting to reconcile with her husband. The church lovingly responded with practical help and counsel, and we were shocked to discover that Prum now owed what would be like one of you owing $400,000. Today, Creditors were coming to her house and business at all hours of the day seeking payments. Brahm did all she could to hide from them. The men of the church came up with a plan that required Brahm to humble herself and go to her creditors and come clean with them, promising to do all she could to pay each one off as soon as possible. The plan required that she sell their house and land to pay off some of the most urgent debt, and that she commit to never borrowing again going forward. Brahm initially agreed to this, but within a few days she balked at humbling herself this way and chose to walk away from God and his people instead of following through. Brahm remains unchanged. Just recently, the family sold the property that they lived on, and most of the proceeds were given to Puk and Brahm to pay off a significant amount of the most urgent debt. Matter of fact, they just moved in a couple of days ago. There is still much debt remaining. Brahm has basically said this without words to her husband Puk, just like Job's wife said to Job in Job 2. Job 2 says, Then his, or Job's wife, said to him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. But Puk has remained faithful. Not just faithful, but rich in the word and in prayer. Discipling CUE, now a young teen girl. She's there in the front center in the picture. And living for the Lord himself, even though he could no longer remain a deacon because of his wife's sin. There are times when Puk really struggles and he battles the sentiments that Asaph dealt with in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, Asaph said, "But as for me, my foot were almost gone," or almost slipped, almost stumbled. "My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Puk has been honest about how close he has come to falling. He has been tempted to think as Asaph did, expressed in Psalm 73, "I have served God in vain." But then, as Asaph, Puk meets with God's people and remembers the end of the wicked, his eternal hope, and that God is his strength now and his portion forever. Puk posted memories of Esau on Facebook recently. Puk's life is so often brutally difficult because of the grief over losing his two sons, as well as the ongoing life-dominating consequences of his wife's sin. And yet, he keeps responding to the Lord and drawing new strength from him. During many of these trials, the community would respond with hushed warnings of the bad karma piling up against Puk and Brahm's family. Because, as the Buddhist community thinks, because they don't appease the spirits or celebrate Buddhist rituals, and they don't do ancestor worship anymore, they think that they're just getting what they deserve. Puk just shakes his head and says they don't understand. For now, Puk derives his greatest comfort from meditations on Job and the Psalms, spending time with CUE in fellowship that he has with his church family. We are blessed as we consider Puk's transformed life, his steady endurance, and his hope that cannot be taken away. We thought to ourselves, what could we do to encourage Puk? How can we help this man in some kind of a practical way to be a blessing to him when these trials are so intense, the problems so many? We obviously can't give him money to pay his debt down. That would be unethical. So what do you do? And so we prayed about it, and we decided that the missionary team would help pay for CUE schooling as a way to take pressure off of Puk. So we take care of CUE schooling so that burden isn't always on his mind, and he greatly appreciates that. As King David had to do, Phuc has had to continually run to God. He has felt betrayed by his wife. Remember why he came to Christ to begin with? It was because of her, right? And now he's a strong believer and she's fallen away. Feeling the pain of betrayal, King David urges us in Psalm 55, "Cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Please pray for Phuc that he would continue to trust the Lord and find daily strength from him. Please pray for Prum's repentance as well. Please pray for the remaining child, their teen daughter, Siu-E, that God's grace would be upon her amidst such turmoil in her family. Siu-E has almost no Christian friends because there almost aren't any Christians. She's from a family that's largely illiterate. There are a lot of psychological problems in the family. Largely impoverished because of her mother and sin. Her mother is this way. And so what do you think her natural response is to her mother? To hate her, right? And she does hate her mother. And it's very difficult. And if she doesn't forgive her mother, and she doesn't move on and give that to the Lord, it's going to destroy her too, and she's going to end up just like her mother. She has to give up this bitterness and forgive her mother and learn to love her as her father has been striving to do. Phuc's story is a true account of one family, but such stories could be told of many first-generation Christians that have had to come to Christ from pagan backgrounds. On pioneer mission fields like Cambodia, it's almost staggering to watch young believers experience such a relentless barrage of testing and trials, seemingly from every direction. Here's a picture of Phuc carving an elephant. He's actually sitting on top of what he's carving, working on it, and he's got a motorcycle helmet shielding his face to keep the dust from flying in his face. That's what you're looking at now, he's working on. And yet, some, like Phuc, keep responding in faith, becoming trophies of what God can do in a life. God is the master carver, and he makes his people into his image through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it may be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Some of you are experiencing a fiery test of faith. May God give you the grace and strength to respond in faith. May you allow God to help you, to teach you, to change you, so that your life will bring glory and praise to Jesus Christ. Proven and tested faith is precious in the sight of God. Fellow believers are greatly encouraged in their faith when they see others who are still in the fire or who have come through the fire who remain faithful. These are trophies of God's grace. There are times in Posat where, you know, I try not to talk to Phuc all the time about his problems. You don't want to, somebody's going through deep waters, you want to bring it up every single time you see them, right? And so with Phuc, try to not do that, but every once in a while I'll ask him, "So Phuc, what's going on with Brum?" And he'll tell me, "It's the same, nothing's changed." And sometimes he'll say to me, he'll say, "Teacher," that's why they call us, they say, "Teacher, I was really close this week to going out drinking and going on a binge." He said, "Any other man in my circumstances with a family like this," and I haven't even told you a whole bunch of issues, this is just the big one, the biggest one. "Anybody else like this would have just divorced his wife, run, go found another woman, or live, drown out their sorrows in alcohol." He said, "And everybody around me I know would do that." He said, "But I can't do that. I'm a believer in Christ. And I've come so close, but God has kept me back." Those of us engaged in making disciples have the joy of seeing some we serve become such trophies, Phuoc is one of these for us. So let's give thanks to the Lord for those believers in Jesus Christ that we have known that have been an encouragement to our faith. Let's give thanks to the Lord for those men and women like this that have already passed on, as well as those that we still have with us. And as we remember and give thanks, may we determine to be such examples of God's grace at work in a life, to endure hard things with God's strength, even as Phuoc. This is him working. You know, we need to understand how powerful our testimony is before God's people when we are suffering afflictions, when we're feeling the consequences of other people's actions and sins, and maybe even our own. And our lives are really hard, and everybody knows what you're going through, and you stay faithful. Just the fact that you walk in the door automatically sends a shockwave of encouragement to everybody else in the church, because everyone else just saw faithful, enduring, grace, trust in the Lord. And everybody's identifying that when they see that person walk in the door. And Phuoc is like that. When he shows up at church, everybody just goes, I need to be strong too. If he can be strong and he's going through that, what about me? There are times when we're having a prayer meeting and we'll divide up into smaller groups. And men with the men, women with the women, and the guys will... I'll get paired with Phuoc. And there are times when he has cried out to the Lord and thanked God for sending the missionaries to Po Sat so that he can hear the gospel and be saved. And to be sitting there in prayer hearing that man pray that way is such a humbling thing. I hope to God that if I had afflictions at that level, that I would be able to respond in faith like Phuoc has. I want to be like this man. I want to have that kind of faith and endurance. So I would like to ask if two men could come up and pray for Phuoc. Pray that he would continue to endure. Pray for his wife that she would repent. And pray for their daughter that she will forgive and learn to love her mother, whether she repents or not.